This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
It comes out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. So hear now the word of God. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, in that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are. Because the world didn't recognize him, it doesn't recognize us. Dear friends, now we are God's children, and it hasn't yet appeared what will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be gracious and glorious to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in 2005, Alicia and I, along with some other very courageous adults, took some youth to a week-long mission trip to New York City. We did some work with the Youth Service Opportunities Project, and every day we went to a different borough of the city to work in the ministry that worked with unhoused population of New York City. It was eye-opening time for the youth, and there are parts of that trip that I will always remember. They have left a legacy in memory and my brain. One of the main ones that Alicia and I still laugh about is when Cameron, one of our youth, was staring at the window as we traveled from the airport to the place we were staying. He was just soaking in all the sights of this big, giant city. And finally, he spoke up and asked, he said, I have a question. What's a grockery? And all the adults looked puzzled. We're like, a what? He said, what's a grockery? We still had no clue what he was talking about. And so we asked this 14-year-old to, can you point one out to us so we understand? He said, you know, right there. And we said, you mean grocery? And yes, he meant grocery. Now, coming from the land of, you know, Food Lion, Harris Teeter, and Bilo, they don't put grocery store on the front of their buildings. They just have those names. So I kind of understood where he's coming from. But ever since then, Alicia and I still tell each other we're heading out to the grockery store and we'll be right back. Because that's when I see that word, that's the only thing I can think about. We all have people in our lives who leave a lasting impression. I'm sure that you all have had some Camerons or two in your life that said something that you just will never forget. Maybe you have someone who gave you a great compliment that always sticks with you, or someone who spoke wisdom into your life that changed the way that you viewed the world. These people leave a legacy that is implanted in our hearts and lives. It transforms us, and we should make sure that we honor those who have done so. The United Methodist Book of Worship describes All Saints' Day as a day of remembrance for the saints, with the New Testament meaning of all Christian people of every time and place. Today we take time to remember our members of our congregation who have gone on to the church triumphant since the last time we celebrated All Saints' Day. We remember them by honoring their lives and legacy that they left behind for each of us. This legacy is important for us to remember because it gives us something to claim. We like to claim how we are made. Schools ask their students to give family trees and give kind of family history reports, and it was kind of fun to tell my kids about my great-great-uncle who came over from Sparta, Greece, through Ellis Island about 100 years ago. Or the Parsons from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, who were also known for moonshine running. 23andMe and Ancestry.com are hugely popular because we want to tap into who we are, where we are from, and what makes us us. so we can claim our past for the good and the bad and the ugly, because that is what created us. I was struck by this quote from Linda Hogan, a Native American writer who wrote, "Walking, I am listening to a deeper way. Suddenly all my ancestors are behind me. Be still, they say. Watch and listen. You are the result of the love of thousands. You are the result of the love of thousands. You are the result of the love of thousands. How beautiful is that?" And we need to claim that as our reality. In John 3, verses 1 through 3, it talks about how we can claim what we can claim as followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 tells us that we can call ourselves God's children because of the kind of love that the Father has given us. God's love lets us claim that we are all God's children. God doesn't have grandchildren. Grandchildren, they get away with anything, right? Because from what I hear, that's the joys of being a grandparent, is that you can accept your grandkids and then never say no to them. They can just go right back to their parents after all that. But children, they should have parents who learn to say no, to teach them boundaries and rules, the way to live a life that makes them productive and generous people in our society. We are God's children because we are being trained to be followers of Jesus in this world, molded into his likeness. We get to claim the love that has brought us here as our legacy and build a life that reflects that love to the world. Jesus' love is that main love of thousands. William Jackson wrote in a commentary that I read this week, he said, "All Saints' Day is a time when, as a family of faith, children of God, and joint heirs with Christ, we not only bear each other's burdens, but also claim for those, who have died the hope and confidence we have together in the risen Christ. Through the credibility of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we claim our legacy, which is grounded in the victory of Christ over sin and the grave." Today, we claim that legacy. We claim that victory as our legacy. Today, we are reminded of the saints that go before us and who also bring us along as participants in the legacy of God's love. We always celebrate communion with All Saints Day because it is this gift that connects us to all of God's children, those who are still getting around here on earth and those who have gone to sit by Jesus' side. Communion is our sacrament that connects us through Jesus Christ with God and with all of God's children. We profess this through the liturgy. Right before we do a group response, I say, "And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn." What follows is called the Sanctus. It is based off Isaiah 6:3. It is a time when all of heaven and earth sing God's praises and we give thanks for the love and grace that we receive at this meal. This isn't just done by those of us here in the congregation, but all those who sing praise to God in the midst of God's presence today. For those surrounded in the glory, they constantly are in the midst of worship and praise of the God who claimed them. When we come to the table, when we join in the ritual and sacrament, we join together with all those saints, united together as the whole body of Christ. As Edward Young once wrote, "Because of the love of Christ, nothing is dead but that which is wished to die. Nothing is dead but wretchedness and pain. What remains for us is a legacy of loyalty, of love, and of life." We claim all of this as we come and gather at the table today. Thomas Long is a professor of preaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. And he's got this great book called "Accompany Them with Singing, The Christian Funeral." And in the book, he lists 8 purposes of a good funeral. One of those 8 is the funeral is supposed to be ecclesial. He writes, "A good funeral is the work of the whole church, the communion of saints, and it announces that that we do not pass through the valley of shadow of death alone. Besides All Saints Day, there really isn't another time besides a funeral where we attempt to link together the whole ecclesial body, the whole church, those alive and those who have gone on. A good funeral, we point to the fact that we are still connected, still joined together as the body of believers. We send these saints on with the assurance of the hope in Jesus Christ that we will be joined together when our time comes. And we find peace in knowing that we are made whole again and singing together in praising of God. Although I understand the pastor side of me kind of gets frustrated when we, maybe it's the start of a cultural trend, who knows, but we tend to not have funerals in the church. Weddings, they're all done at venues now, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised that funerals have moved away. There are many who choose simply to do just a graveside service or just to do it at the funeral home, and I'm sure there's cost involved in all of that, so I understand those things. But what I grieve and what I miss is the opportunity to welcome that person back home one last time. Our church is now 68 years old. We're reaching an age where some funerals I will do, that person may not know another congregation. This means that member could have been baptized here, confirmed here, celebrated countless Easters and Christmases. They could have been married here and baptized their children or their grandchildren. Their whole Christian lives are written on the walls of this church. So why not let those walls wrap them up one last time as we claim the assurance of their new life with God and that they do not travel that last step alone? Earlier this year, Thomas Long was on Kate Bowler's podcast, Everything Happens, to talk about that book. And they eventually got talking about graveyards and how they used to be around churches and that even priests, they were buried underneath the altars of some churches. Long had to do a lot of research on the Christian practices of funerals, and he said that historically Christians wanted to be buried near the table because they were going to the feast. Imagine what church would feel like if, you know, this back wall here, or maybe even the back wall there, was a columbarium, and we are literally surrounded by saints. How would that transform our understanding that we are joining together with the company of heaven to sing their unending hymn? In that podcast, Long goes on to say that many young pastors sometimes get angry about how spread out the congregation gets. You know, we've got a big hole today right through the middle of our this side. But what happens is that he says what they aren't doing is squinting, because if they squinted, they would see next to the woman back there her husband who died 3 years ago, who's worshiping with her still, or the little girl of that family that the family lost is there. They're all there at the table if we know how to look. So squint down your pew today, or squint around to the pews next to you. Which of the saints are worshiping with us today? Barbara sat right back there on the back row. She's always said she's on the back pew on the pulpit side because when I looked up for my sermon, she wanted her face to be the first one that I see. She's still there. I can see Peggy Harris, who's also a back row person as well, and Ralph sitting next to Sharon. And when Carolyn came, sat right over there. We had that beautiful white-haired duo of Jeff and Mary Jane Thompson. Jeff still sitting here among us, although Mary Jane is up in Virginia now. All that is still happening because of the mystery of God's grace. So come to think of it, I should never again say that the church was a little empty at worship, because truly it's always full. And if we're quiet enough, if we're still enough, we can almost hear those heavenly voices singing God's praise. think we can almost hear the love of thousands. And I think I just heard Dot Wood say amen. In our book of worship, The Gathering Words for the Service of Death and Resurrection, is a nod to this text, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And so I want to end this All Saints Day sermon with that greeting, and may it be a blessing and a sense of assurance to us, to all of us, as we approach the table today, to be all God's children together. So hear this word. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, we put on Christ. And so in Christ, may we be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are all God's children. What shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. And all God's people said, let us pray. Lord, as we come to your table today, as we feast on your Son's body and blood, as they become the mystery and connect us with your grace, we simply ask that we are connected to all the saints who have gone before us. May your whole body, those here on earth and all the company of heaven, praise you in this moment. And may we give thanks for the legacy that those who go on have left on our hearts. May we feel connected today. May we feel that legacy of love and grace upon us. And may we understand that we are here today because of the love of thousands. It is your love that we meet in the bread and the cup. It is in your name we pray. Amen.